When I was in Little Falls, I had a friend of mine, Kenny Berggren, and Kenny was the custodian part-time, but he also worked at the Granite Works, you know. And so on a Sunday morning, when kids didn't realize how blessed they were, I mean, a lot of times adults don't understand it either, right? And so I had a big glass, you know, these big gulp things that you can get. I mean, they must be, what, 48 ounces, I suppose? And I had one of these big glasses, and we just kept naming one blessing of love after another. And then the cup got full, and when they saw me keep pouring, you know, because the blessings don't stop, you know what those kids did? They go, "Oh my gosh, you're getting water all over the floor." And I said, "It's not a problem." I said, "We got a custodian named Kenny, and he can go ahead and he can clean it up. He's one of the sheep, you know. He's one of the sheep, you know." So tonight, on this Good Shepherd celebration, as we celebrate the Good Shepherd Jesus, the Lamb of God, the door of the sheep, the one who lays down his life for the sheep, the one who came that we might have life and have it abundantly, tonight I want you to think about an important question. Why so sheepish? Why so sheepish? Now, when we hear the word sheepish, we usually think of someone who is embarrassed or perhaps someone who is kind of docile and timid. But I want you to think also tonight, not just of those definitions, but to be sheepish is to be bold in your love for Jesus Christ. To be sheepish is to be marked and claimed and anointed and fed and forgiven. And to be so bold, so in tune to the voice of the Good Shepherd that you don't recognize any of those other pretenders. You don't spend any time with them and you don't recognize them because they're false. And they, Jesus said, are thieves and robbers. They want to steal salvation away from you because salvation is only in the name of Jesus. The thieves and the robbers, Jesus says, they come to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, he came to forgive your sins, to save your souls, and to give you life everlasting, to raise you from the dead. Years ago, when I was in Tacoma, Washington, there's a young gal on staff, and she taught me a song that I didn't know. I know a lot of pieces of music, especially kids' songs and stuff, having done chapel time, but I hadn't heard this one. Maybe you know it. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. Well, there's lots of verses there. There's verses like, I don't want to be a Sadducee. A what? A Sadducee. Because they're so sad, you see. They don't believe in the resurrection. And anybody that doesn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, they have nothing but eternal sad, you see. I don't want to be a Pharisee because they don't play fair, you see. I don't want to be a Canaanite because they raise Cain at night. But one of my favorite verses in that song, I don't want to be a goat. Nope. I don't want to be a goat. Nope. Because goats don't have no hope. I don't want to be a goat. Nope. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. Yes. You know, shepherding was something well known to the hearers of Jesus, past and present. Right in the first century, in the Old Testament, first shepherd, Adam's son, Abel, and Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob were shepherds. And Moses was a shepherd. And King David was a shepherd. The kings of Israel, read Ezekiel 34 sometime in the next few days, maybe even before you go to bed tonight. The kings of Israel were called to be shepherds. And instead, they were fleecing and abusing the sheep. A word of prophecy was spoken in Ezekiel 34 that God was going to bring all of his sheep together into one flock when Messiah comes. Messiah was promised one that would truly take care of his sheep and not let any harm come to them, providing for them, protecting them. In John chapter 10, Jesus is using a familiar word picture because there were shepherds. St. Paul talks about shepherding in Romans 8. We might miss it, where Paul says, in everything God is working for good for those that he has called, justified, sanctified, glorified, the sheep. Nothing can separate the sheep from the love of God in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. God, who did not spare his son, but gave him up for us all, won't he give you all good things with him? Of course. We are regarded as sheep for slaughter. That's Romans 8. Make no mistake about it, to be sheepish, to follow steadfastly, boldly in the footsteps of Jesus. Sheepish, timid, embarrassed. That's what most people probably think about with sheepish, which is probably why a lot of people are Christians in name only. Because the last thing they want to do is to be a sheep for slaughter, following in the footsteps of Jesus. Embarrassed. Some people are embarrassed about Jesus. They maybe kind of hide their faith. Sheepish. I remember when my son was in high school running cross country. Joshua knew that if he had his running gear on, he had no pockets. But he might get thirsty, might get hungry. So he needed to have some money, maybe a 5, maybe a 10, sometimes a 20. But he'd put it in the one place that he could, you know, in his shoe. Well, he didn't use the $20 bill, left it in his shoe. The next day he got up to put his shoes on, and he's thinking, okay, who took my $20 bill? Accused his sisters, accused his mom, accused his dad. Everybody's fault, right? Someone took his 20. Well, he didn't have a lot of high regard for his family for a few days. Wasn't talking, was mad, angry. Nobody likes to lose 20 bucks, I suppose. Saturday came, and I had some time, so I went out to mow the lawn. And any of you have a pet dog? You know what you do before you mow the lawn, right? I mean, hopefully you do this, unless you want to get this dog doodle all over your shoes and your mower and stuff. You go out there and you pick that doo-doo up, right? The feces. I'm talking about the feces, okay? So you go out there and pick it up. I'm out there. I got my bucket. I got my little scoop shovel because I'm not going to pick it up with my hands, for crying out loud. And all of a sudden, I go, what in the world? And I use that little scoop, you know, the garden trowel thing. And I said, Julie, you got to see this. I mean, it was probably about 2/3 of a $20 bill that was chewed, that was in that feces. I said, Joshua, you got to see this. This is crazy. I told you somebody stole my 20. Yeah, right. You know, but you see, so sheepish that you don't want to say, I'm sorry for accusing you of something you didn't do. It wasn't the first time, it wasn't the last time that our dog Samson decided to eat money. But it was the first time we found out about it. Sheepish. Some of the airlines, you know, are kind of sheepish these days, especially when there's videotaping of somebody being dragged off the plane, for crying out loud, overbooking. And recently, a husband and wife, 18-month-old, found out the facts about the story, the reason why they wanted to keep their son, their 18-month-old, on a regular plane seat. They said, well, we paid for the seat. They paid for it for their 18-year-old who had flown on an earlier flight. You can't transfer tickets and seats, you know. So they were being asked, you know, to hold their 18-month-old in their lap, right? But all this bad publicity, this embarrassment, this sheepishness that's coming their way. There was a woman, I think a day or two ago, didn't speak English. She was heading back home to France, to Paris, left New Jersey airport, and she had her boarding pass. They scanned her through. She went onto the plane. Somebody sitting in seat 22C. No problem. The flight attendant says, we'll get you another seat. Here, you sit right over here. This is open. And then 3,000 miles later, she wakes up in San Francisco. Sheepish? Yeah, somebody should be a little embarrassed about that, right? This is what people think about when they think about being sheepish. That's not what Jesus is saying about being embarrassed or docile or timid. He's talking about being bold in your walk with Christ, bold in your walking in the footsteps of the Good Shepherd as faithful following lambs of God. Sheepish, in the best sense of the word. Why? Well, because there's fakes out there for crying out loud. Seriously, you can find them. You don't have to drive far. I mean, if that's your goal in life, is to find one of these robbers and thieves, I can point a few out to you right here in Rochester, okay? So you don't have to go far is what I'm saying. Jesus is saying you don't have to go far. Thieves and robbers, how do you know them? Well, they don't come through the gate. They try to climb in another way. Jesus says, amen, amen. Heads up. Listen, I got something important to tell you. And then he says, the thieves climb over the wall. They'll preach to you another gospel. Full inclusion. They'll preach to you another gospel. Universalism. They'll preach to you another gospel that doesn't require the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's nonsense. But there's a lot of sheep, or at least they think they're sheep, that are falling for it. Jesus says, he says this plainly, but they don't get it, so he has to say, amen, amen, a second time. He says, I'm the door. The door, not a door out of a whole bunch of doors. Just open the door you want. The door, the only door. And my sheep hear my voice. They don't recognize the voice of the thieves and the robbers because they don't spend time with that nonsense. They don't spend time with that nonsense. You know what they do spend time with? With the Word. The voice of God, the Good Shepherd. Keep company with him and you won't be deceived. You don't come to church because you're getting brownie points with God or maybe a better place in heaven, for crying out loud. If for no other reason, come so that your head can be anointed with oil, so that your belly can be filled and overflowing with the bread of life, Jesus. Come. Because the Lord is your shepherd, and he's made you sheepish. Shepherds name their sheep, you know, just like we name our dogs and cats and goldfish and stuff like that. And they'd call them by name. And there was voice recognition. Now, I remember a particular Sunday. It was November 21st, 1999. I'm not the only one that remembers that Sunday. And some of you have heard this story from the horse's mouth. But I'm going to paraphrase it, because that Sunday I was preaching on Matthew 25 in Little Falls, Minnesota. It's the story of the sheep and the goats. I was trying to be faithful to the voice of God, the word of Scripture. But in Jacksonville, Florida, there was a wolf wearing sheep's clothing, standing behind a pulpit. A member of our congregation, two of them were there. The husband says to the wife, you can't work in the nursery today. You've got to come and hear this sermon. You've got to get somebody else to take your place. And so here's what the pastor says. You don't need to tell anybody about Jesus. There are no goats. You're all sheep. Let me hear you say, bah. Three times he said that to the people. No, not, that's not loud enough. Again, bah. No, that's not loud enough. Come on, bah. You don't need to tell Jesus to the world. Because there's lots of paths and ways, you know. And we should just sit down and have some dialogues together about full inclusion and universalism and all this nonsense. Well, at that church, there was a tradition where there hadn't been small group Bible studies, but they had started them. Lay people were in the Word. I mean, in the Word. And when you get in Scripture, guess what you hear? You get to hear the voice of God. And they were in the Word. And they didn't recognize what was coming from that pulpit. You see the sheep? They recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd. They don't recognize this other nonsense. But because they were sheepish, in the good sense of the word, six couples, they said, Pastor, we got to visit. We got to talk about this today. Well, he didn't want to really visit because it was a Sunday and the Jacksonville Jaguars were playing football. You know, and after all, if you're just a hireling, it's for the paycheck, right? But he put up with them and visited. They expressed their concerns because they know the voice of the Good Shepherd. They keep company with the Word. And the pastor said, this is what I'm preaching. You don't like it, there's the door. And they walked, all six of those couples. Because that's what sheep do. Sheep that know the Good Shepherd. They don't stay there and suck up this crap. They walk because they know who the Good Shepherd is and they know who it isn't. And I thank God for people who are in the Word every day and every week so that they recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd. And they don't put up with this other nonsense because there are more than enough people that are listening to this stuff and swallowing it every day, my friends. Every day. Pray. Pray that the Good Shepherd's voice would be heard in and through the sheep of this congregation. You know, in the first century, all these shepherds that had their sheep, they were out and about, pasturing during the day, rugged terrain. And then at night, they would either bring them all into a community pen, you know, a bunch of these shepherds with their sheep, or they would bring them into a small little sheepfold, an enclosure that was handmade with rocks. I've seen them over in Palestine. Sammy has seen them. Arnie's seen them. If you've been to Israel, you know what I'm talking about. You know, like a little cave structure. You put the walls there, and then there's this little entrance. The shepherd, the sheep went between the legs. He examined everyone if they were sick. He anointed them. If they were wounded, he healed them. And after all the sheep were in safe and sound, he laid right down. He was the door. You don't get to my sheep unless you go through me. And that's what they tried to do on a Good Friday afternoon. They tried to get the sheep. And they put Jesus on the cross. And on the third day, he said, I told you you don't mess with my sheep. He descended into hell so that he could have the keys and set the sheep free. You're free, you know. Free to follow Jesus and not to listen to the voices of the thieves and robbers. A friend of mine's a pastor. This winter decided he wanted to get out of the cold weather of Minnesota. Went down to Florida. It was 10 degrees here. It was 80 degrees there. He sat with his friends around the pool. There was a group of about eight or nine mothers, and they were drinking adult beverages and getting some sun. And around this big, large pool, there must have been, I don't know, 100 kids at least. I mean, there's just all kinds of kids making all kinds of noise, screaming and hollering and stuff. But he watched, and he said, here's what I saw. When one of the kids in the pool would say, hey, Mom, look at me. Or, Mom, take a picture of this. The mom would stop the conversation if she was in mid-sentence and would look over there. All this noise of all the kids going on. How in the world can a mother figure that out? Because the mother knows the voice of her child. The child knows the voice of their mother even in the womb. How much more? Jesus, the Good Shepherd, he knows his sheep, and his sheep know him, and they follow, and no one can snatch them out of his hands. No one. You want to come after my sheep? Then try to get through me. That's what Jesus says. That's how you're going to know the shepherds that are serving Christ. Guys like Scott. He's married, he's got two kids. No one's going to touch his family or the sheep of his congregation. They're going to have to go through him first. Fred's at Family of Christ. Voldemort's got a couple of congregations that he's serving right now. That's what shepherds do. They follow in the footsteps of Jesus and they lay down their lives for the sheep. You know the name Boko Haram. A terrorist, you know, just brutal people over in northern Nigeria. Habila is a Christian living in northern Nigeria. Habila married, has a couple of kids, and these terrorists came into his home, and they said, you will right now, you will recite the Islam creed. You renounce Christianity, and you will become a follower of Muhammad. And he said, I am a Christian, and I will always be a Christian, and I will die before I will leave my Jesus. These terrorists, they took Habila's wife and kids outside. They said, why is he so foolish? They went in and shot him point blank in the face, left him to die. He survived. Miraculously. And his testimony is this. We're all convicted criminals. We're all guilty. We've all sinned, and only Jesus can save us. Well, you would expect people to be fleeing northern Nigeria. Habila and others, they've already forgiven the ones who have wounded and tried to kill them, their enemies. They're praying for them because they want them to be sheep enfolded into Jesus. Forgiving even our enemies, those who hate us, those who try to kill us with our dying breath. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I just want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba. And I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba. The Lord is your good shepherd. Why so sheepish? Well, because you belong to Jesus, of course. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we are.